Welcome to another teaching from City Life Church Wollongong. For more information about our church, log on to www.citylife.org.au.
So the last little bit, we've been talking about that kind of heritage heroes, heroes of the heritage, that sort of thing, and it's been fun, yeah? I've enjoyed preaching it, so I hope that you have enjoyed hearing it. So next week, I'm going to wrap that up, and I'm going to talk a little bit about, I guess, how we can become heroes. And I know that sounds cheesy, but how we can kind of implement these things and move forward, because it's not just about the people that went before us, but it's about how we can move forward and how we can build a heritage for the future generations of faith, and how our faith and the way that we live, it builds this heritage for other people. And so I want to do that next week, but this week I want to talk again on another one of the big Old Testament Bible heroes, the Sunday school. And you know, there's this, they say that in Sunday school you can answer three things: God, Jesus, and Moses. And so tonight I'm going to talk about Moses, and then at least you'll know what you're saying when you say Moses. I don't know if that's true, but that used to be a thing. And so this is kind of going to talk a little bit about Moses, about who he was, what he did, and but really what I want to focus on is what it says about him in Hebrews chapter 11. What it says are the things that he had faith on, and how they impacted his life and the life of his people, and how God used him for amazing things. So we're going to kind of go through that. But before I do, we'll just do a little bit of background. If you've got your Bible with you, you can open it up to Exodus chapter 1. And we're going to read all of Exodus and keep on going. No, we're not. Basically, you know, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, they're pretty much all about Moses. So we're not going to read four whole of the longest books in the Bible, but I encourage you to do that. But let's just go from the top and do a bit of an overview. Does everyone kind of have a vague idea of who Moses is? Yeah. All right. So Moses was this dude, and he was born, and when he was born, his people, the Israelites, were slaves to the Egyptians. So literally, they were slaves to the Egyptian people, and they were being oppressed, and all this stuff was happening. And the Pharaoh at the time, he is worried that there are getting too many Israelites, and he kind of figures out if they decide to, they would overthrow and overpower the Egyptians. So he says, kill every baby boy, which is a really horrible thing. And Moses is born, and his mom doesn't obviously want him to die, so she hides him, and she puts him away, and then she sends him down the river in a little boat thing, which in all of the show, TV shows and cartoons and movies was just this little basket that floated down. Anyone else? No? All right. Yeah. Good. And anyway, long story short, he is picked up by the Pharaoh's daughter and ends up becoming like a member of Pharaoh's household. So here he is. The rest of his people are treated as slaves. He has somehow been put in this situation where he's treated like a son of Pharaoh, and he grows up as an Egyptian in the palace, in the royal family, yeah? Okay, so then basically he sees his people being oppressed. He kills a guy, like an Egyptian guy, and he runs into the desert where he lives for a long time, and he gets married and blah, blah, stuff happens. Then God calls him to go and rescue the Israelites, and that's the burning bush. You might have heard of the burning bush. So God comes to him in this bush that's on fire but is not being consumed, and commands him to go back and to rescue his people. And he says, Moses, I'm going to use you to free my people from slavery. So then Moses goes back. You know, there's a lot more in this. I want to get to my points, so I'm not going to tell the whole story in detail. You can get the movie Prince of Egypt. It's like a cartoon. It's really easy to watch if you want to, and then that's a pretty good run. Or there's that other one with Charlton Heston that's longer and older. So there's movies about this. I'm sure you can figure it out, or you could just read the Bible. Amen. Crazy, but sometimes that's helpful to get. There are good things, stories that represent that, and it's a really famous story. But anyway, where was I? So he goes back to Pharaoh, and he does all these signs and these wonders, and you know, there's the the frogs and the locusts and the river turning to blood and all of this stuff. And Pharaoh won't let the people go. And then finally, there's God says, I'm going to kill every firstborn son if you don't let my people go, which is what Pharaoh did to God's people. So it's kind of, it's a horrible thing to say, but it's there's something going on there. And then he says to Moses, he says, you know, if you would cover the doorposts in the blood, then this angel of death will pass over you. And we'll get to that later. That's really important. And that happens. And so Pharaoh agrees finally to let the Israelites go. And then as they go, basically, you know, Pharaoh changes his mind. He comes after them. That's when Moses passed the Red Sea. They all run across. The Egyptian army is drowned. And then they spend 40 years wandering in the desert before they get to the Promised Land. Everybody follow that? That is the brief history of the Exodus of the Israelite people and of Moses. But Moses is this amazing guy who leads thousands and thousands of people through the wilderness to the Promised Land and is used by God to rescue his people and to take them into their calling. And all of this crazy stuff happens, and you should just read about it yourself. But it's this story basically about how God uses a guy to rescue his people and how he uses Moses to fulfill his plan and his purpose in this incredible way, and how Moses is just used by God phenomenally. And so, you know, what I wanted to look at tonight, and I grab the stool because I'm having dinner and, you know, keep it relaxed and all that stuff. I just want to share around these verses. And so let's read from Hebrews chapter 11. If you've got your Bible, you can open it up. Just what Moses did by faith and how we can learn from that is kind of what I want to talk on tonight. So it says in verse 24 of Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. So there's these four things that specifically in Hebrews 11, the writer attributes to Moses as things that he did by faith. Yep, are you with me? And so I just wanted to talk a little bit tonight about what faith is built on. Because I think out of these four things that Moses did and the four things that Moses did by faith, we can kind of learn. I just have four things that faith is built on. Is that good? Yeah. All right, are you with me?
Yep.
Are you excited?
Yeah.
Are you glad that you came from your home and came to church and not just because you can smell lasagna or quiche? I'm sure the quiche is great. It's not that bad. You can scrape it off. It'll be fine. I'm sure it's great. I'm just making a comment just to remind Lisa of what Peter said, just to make sure that it didn't slip under the rug. Just giving you a help out there, Pete. Just helping you out. I don't know how that's helping you, but it's helping someone. Anyway, I'm sure it's good. But that was nothing to do with anything except we're glad that we're at church. That's right. Good. I'm glad that we're here. So, okay, the first thing it says is in verse 24 and verse 25. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. So Moses is there and he is a prince in the Egyptian court. So he can do basically whatever he wants. Like, he is the royal family. He is Will and Kate and Harry and whatever. Like, he is the royals, you know. And so he was in charge. He was rich. He lived in a palace. He had all of this stuff happening. And it says he chose to be mistreated with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. And so the first thing I think that we can do that builds faith is to have integrity. You know, faith is built when we take a stand. Faith is built when we have integrity to the things that we believe. When we don't allow the fleeting pleasures of sin to consume us, but we live running after God and wanting to be, known as His person, as a son or a daughter of God, rather than enjoying what's going on in the world around us. And Moses, he makes that stand. And it says he chooses to be mistreated. He chose to be mistreated with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin. And when we do that and when we choose to be the people of God, despite being mistreated for it, then we build faith because we have integrity to who we are and who we've called to be, yeah? You know, when we make a stand, when you stand up for your faith in your workplace or in your school or in your family, and when you do that, it builds faith in your life. When you have integrity and you do the right thing and you make the tough call, it builds faith in your life. And the opposite, I think, is true. You know, when we let sin in, when we start to let sin come around and start to control us, then our faith is diminished. You know, when we start to worry about the pleasure that we get from sin more than we do about pleasing God, then our faith starts to diminish, even if it's just a little bit, even if it's just a little thing. And the challenge for us, I think, is to be people of integrity. You know, we live in a world that is far from God and where people are certainly, you know, enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. And it's easy to get caught in that. But if we can be people of faith and people of integrity, then God can use us and we can have a strong representation of who He is to the people around us. And it's when we have that integrity that faith is built. It's when we have that integrity that says, I'm not just a Christian because I say I am a Christian, but I'm a Christian because my life represents that and my life demonstrates that. And the things that I do demonstrate my faith, then we start to have influence and we start to have strength and we start to have favor among people because they see our integrity. You know, I honestly, people don't care that you worship God unless you have integrity in it. You know, when we have integrity, when we stick to our word, when we try our best. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be a perfect person because Moses wasn't a perfect person. I'm not a perfect person. You are not a perfect person. We will make mistakes. But if we would own our mistakes and we'd have integrity with those things, then God can use us and He can build our faith. And when we do that, then we can have strength. And God uses Moses in this incredible way because Moses chose to be a person of God. He chose to be a son of God. He chose to be a representative of God rather than enjoy the life that he could have had if he had just gone with sin. So yeah, is that cool? So verse 24 and 25, he was mistreated with the people of God rather than enjoying the pleasures of sin. When we have integrity, we build our faith. And faith is built on a life of integrity. All right, so that's number one. You know, when we have integrity, we build our faith. So we're talking about what faith is built on. So the next thing comes in verse 26, and it says, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking for ahead to his reward. So the second thing that builds faith and that faith is built on, I think, is vision. You know, when we have vision for what is ahead and what God is going to do and what His plan is and where He is taking us, then we build faith. You know, if we're just worried about today and we're just kind of just about today, then we will put our value in the treasures of Egypt. We will put our value in the treasures of this world and of this time, and we will worry about our you know, what we're doing, our job, our career, our car, our house, whatever it is, and we will put the value on those things instead of seeking the kingdom of God because we lose sight of where we're going. You know, Moses was looking ahead to the promised land. And the amazing thing about Moses is that he never gets there. He sees it, but he never gets there. But he still did it anyway. And he had faith the whole way through his lifetime. And it was that faith in the vision and in what, where God was taking him and where God was using him to lead his people that meant that he didn't put value on the things of the world, but he put value on the vision and the place where God was taking him. And we need to be people who are following Jesus and saying, my reward is ahead of me. My reward is in heaven. My reward is relationship with God. It's not the things of this world. And like, it's great. And God wants to bless us and he wants to give us favor. And he wants... Whoa. Just pulled the whole mic apart. That's awesome. I shouldn't back it on my leg. You know, he wants to give us favor and grace and he wants to use us and he wants to bless us. And I really honestly believe that. But when we put our value in that, then we lose sight of the vision that God has got for us and we start to lose our faith. Yeah. You know, when our value is in the things of this world, we don't have vision. We're already there. Yeah. You know, or your vision becomes skewed because then all you care about is, oh, I want to get that house, I want to get that thing, or I want to get that thing or whatever. And our value shifts onto what is temporary instead of being on what is eternal. But when our vision and our values are on what is eternal, then God can use us and he can build our faith, yeah? And we start to see our value differently. And so Moses is there and he sees all the treasures of Egypt. He has everything at his disposal and everything at his fingertips and he can have whatever he wants in this world. But he chooses to be disgraced for the sake of Christ because he sees it as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. And he does that because he's looking ahead to his reward. And now let's be people who build faith by looking ahead to our reward, who have vision for what is ahead, who have a vision for what God is going to do in our community, who have vision for what God is going to do in our church, who have vision for what God is going to do in our families and in our homes and around the world. And when we have that vision and have vision for where he is taking us and vision to that heavenly city. You remember last week we talked about living as a foreigner and we have vision for that. Then God builds our faith and he builds faith in our hearts and in our lives when we have vision. Is that cool? All right, so faith is built on integrity. Faith is built on vision. Yeah? All right, verse 27. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Faith is built on perseverance. You know, when we give up straight away, or when we let fear take control, then we lose faith. But when we persevere, God builds faith. Yeah? You know, when we stop fearing man and we live in awe of God, he builds faith into our life and he builds faith into our world and into the things that we're doing and he puts faith on us. You know, it says that Moses persevered because he saw him who is invisible. You know, Moses has this encounter with God at the burning bush where God speaks to him. And it's this powerful thing. And throughout his life, Moses has powerful encounters with God, where God shows himself to Moses in an amazing way, and in a way that had never been done before, and in a way that nobody could experience until Jesus on the cross for us. Now that we can meet with God daily, which is just amazing and another topic, but he has this powerful encounter with God, which all of us can have, and it drives the fear from him. Now, God convinces, if you read the story of the calling of Moses, it is a lot to do with Moses' fear and God dealing with him on it. And constantly Moses has these excuses about why God shouldn't use him because he's afraid. But God starts to build faith in him by showing him who he is. And Moses says, you know, who should I say called me, and who should I say is talking? He says, I am who I am. Tell him that that's who I am. And he says, tell them that I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Remember, we talked about that last week. He says, he reveals himself to Moses. God shows Moses who he is, and that builds this faith in him, which means he can persevere. And when we have an encounter with God, and when we fill our life with God encounters, that means every day reading his word and spending time in his presence and not missing an opportunity to gather with his people and worship and hear from his word, then God builds faith in us. And when we persevere in that, then the fear of man diminishes and the awe of God increases and we can live in faith. Is that okay? You know, when we know God, he builds our faith. And when we persevere, It builds faith, and we can persevere through knowing God. Does that make sense? So when we get to know God, when we spend time with God, when we meet with God, when you read your Bible, He encourages us. He builds us up daily so that we can have strength to persevere. You know, if we try and do life on our own strength, if we say, I'm going to be a hero of the heritage, I'm going to lay down a foundation for my children's children's children, and I'm going to do great things for God, but then we do that with our relationship with God, we will fail. And Moses by himself was full of fear and doubt and mistakes and all of these things. But by faith he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Because he had an encounter with God. And because he had God speaking to him every day. Because he had a relationship with God. And Moses, he had this incredible relationship with God that because of the grace of Jesus, we can have. And that's an amazing thing. You know, at the time in the Old Testament, he was the only one that could have that relationship with God. And God spoke to his people through Moses. But today, because of Jesus and because of what he did on the cross, we can all have that relationship. And we can all be filled with God's presence. And we can all see him who is invisible and persevere because of that. And the fear of man starts to diminish. You know, Moses comes and he is faced by the armies of Egypt, the most powerful civilization of the age. The superpower of the biblical times. You know, this was before the Romans. This is the height of their power. You know, they were building pyramids and sphinx and temples and conquering lands and doing all this stuff. And they had all the Israelites as slaves. But Moses isn't afraid of Pharaoh because he has seen God. And that's a powerful principle for us. We don't need to be afraid of the people in our world. You know, we don't have to have fear to share what God has done in our life because we have seen God. And we can persevere through faith because we have seen God. We don't have to worry that God isn't at work, that he is not going to be with us, that he is not going to empower us because we have seen God. You know, we were chatting to our next door neighbor yesterday, which was funny because, you know, we invited him to church and all this stuff, and he was kind of like, oh, you know, thanks for the invite. I'm not really a church person. If you might have been able to tell, and he's sitting there with like no shirt on, drinking his beer, and he's got death metal playing from his apartment way too loud. And he's got all his mates there. He's like, I just got fired. So I don't know, they were getting drunk because that's what you do apparently. But we just got to talk to him, and I was just like, you know, you could take that as, oh, he doesn't want to come to church. But I was like, no, he doesn't hate us. He's not against us. He just has some things in his head that he thinks about church that may or may not be right. And so I'm just like, well, God, we can trust you. You know, we don't have to have fear of man. I'm not worried about that because I know that you're in control. And I've seen him who is invisible, and I know that he's going to move. And so we're just believing God for that, and that he's going to move, and that he's going to use us. And maybe that means we don't invite him to church every week. Maybe it just means that we get to show a life of faith and integrity and perseverance that then demonstrates who God is to him. And then God uses that. But who knows? But we can believe and we can have faith in God because we have connection with God. And we have his power in our life. And so we can persevere and not be afraid of our neighbor with his metal. It was really loud. I don't know, we weren't sure whether to go and complain or not, but we couldn't. But anyway, then we went out and we came back and he'd stopped. So it was okay. We were waiting for the guys next door to come and yell at him. Didn't happen, so it was okay. Anyway, that would have been a good confrontation. Anyway, he's a good guy, our neighbor. He's nice. He waters our plants for us. It's really good. But anyway, we have faith that God's going to move because we have relationship with God and we don't have to have fear. And it's the same in your workplace or in your school or in your family life. No matter where people are at with God, you can have faith that when you live a life and you put out those invitations and you talk about Jesus and all those things happens, you don't have to have fear of what people will say or how they will react because you have God with you and you can persevere because of the faith that you get from that. Is that cool? Yep. All right, so faith is built on integrity. Faith is built on vision. Faith is built on perseverance. And finally, it says in verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. That's not as obvious, is it? You know, I was reading these and I was like, yeah, I can see the points there, the points there, the points there. I'm like, oh, the bit where all the people are killed and there's the blood and there's, and I'm like, what on earth is that? And sometimes the Bible has stuff and you're just like, I don't know what that is talking about. So I'm going to enlighten you on this. No, not on. I'm going to give you my interpretation, what I felt like God was talking to me about through that. I was like, it's important. You know, when something's in the Bible, it is important. And it seemed weird to me that in Hebrews 11, there's all of this stuff about people doing these amazing things. And then it just says, by faith, Moses kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the people of Israel, the firstborn of Israel, would not be destroyed. So what is that talking about? What is the faith? What is the faith that we can build on from this passage? What is it talking about? And I think it's talking about grace. You know, faith is built on grace. We can't build faith by ourselves. We can't build it in our own effort. We can't build it in our own strength. Moses couldn't go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go, in his own strength, because that was never going to happen. He had to have faith in God, and he had to rely on the grace of God. And the Passover represents the grace of God. The Passover represents Jesus. You know, it's this illustration of the blood. So what they had to do is, this angel of death was coming, and it was going to kill all the firstborns in the whole land. And God says to Moses and to his people, he says, I want you to kill a lamb and put the blood of the lamb over your doorpost, over your household. And then when the angel comes over, it will see the blood of the lamb, and it will pass over that household, and it won't touch anyone in it. And maybe you're starting to see where it's going. You know, Jesus is the Lamb of God. And we are covered by the blood of the Lamb, so that the angel of death would pass over us and we would not have to die. And so this passage, this little verse here, is just saying Moses relied on the grace of God. And we can rely on the grace of God. We can have that blood of the Lamb over us, over our life, over our households, that we are washed clean, and so that the death would pass over us and we could live by faith. Is that awesome? I thought that was awesome. And our God, right back there, the very start, right in Exodus, and when he's rescuing his people, is giving this illustration of Jesus who was to come, and saying, it's grace that will save you. It's nothing that you can do. It is the blood of the sacrifice of the Lamb. And Jesus is that sacrifice, and the Lamb represents innocence and purity. And Jesus is that. You know, he never sinned. He was pure. He was everything that we can't be. And he took the punishment for us and took that sacrifice for us. And so we have faith, and we can have faith because of the grace of Jesus Christ. You know, and it's nothing else that we can do. It's his grace that enables us to have faith. And we need to live in that. You know, let's live in the grace of God. Let's move in the grace of Jesus on our life all the time. You know, we don't have to have fear. We don't have to doubt. We don't have to fear anything that's happening in our lives. And we can live by faith because we are covered by the blood of the Lamb. And we are covered by the grace of Jesus. And so we can live in him, and we can work in him, and we can look forward to that city that's in heaven, and we can look forward to what God is doing and the things that he has put ahead of us, and we can be used by him powerfully because of the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, we need that grace to have faith. You know, just like Moses, God has an incredible plan for every single one of us. I honestly believe that. You know, Moses was this guy that through situations and through, honestly, grace on his life, was rescued from death and then chosen by God to save his people. And that's exactly what God has done for us. He has rescued us from death, and he has chosen us to save our people. And it's the same call, and it's the same responsibility, and it's the same task, and God has graced us for it. And that's an incredible gift and an incredible thing. And we can have faith because of that grace, and we can build faith through integrity, and we can build it through vision, and we can build it through perseverance. But all of those things require the grace of Jesus to even start. And so as we finish and the team comes, I just think we should pray together and just thank God for His grace. And we will give an opportunity for you to receive His grace, maybe for the first time or fresh again. And so let's just do that. God, thank you so much for Jesus. God, we've been talking about these heroes of our heritage and amazing men of God who just did incredible things because of you and because of your power in their life. But God, our hero is Jesus because he saved us. God, just like that Passover, just like the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, his blood covers our life so that you don't have to see our sin, but you see purity, you see grace, you see Jesus when you look at us. And God, we just want to thank you for that and honor you for that. God, live in our lives more and more. Help us not to have fear of man. Help us not to get enamored with the things of this world or worried about the circumstance or the thing that's going on, but see the reward ahead of us. Help us to have integrity to stand for you, God, in our schools, in our workplace, in our university, God, to have the integrity to stand for you and to persevere. And God, that as we do that, you would build faith and you would build it strong. But God, I just pray for grace and I thank you for it. God, thank you that you have just covered our lives with Jesus' blood. God, that we were saved from death and chosen to save our people. And so, God, I pray that you would help us, you would empower us to do that, and you would grace us for that task. You know, right now before we finish, we pray this prayer together every week, and it will be on the screen in a second. It's a simple invitation to accept the grace of Jesus and to accept that he died on the cross and that he rose again and that he's forgiven our sins and that because of him, we can have relationship with God, we can have eternity in heaven, and we can fulfill the plan that God has for us. So I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know if you're feeling far from God or you've never really made that commitment or whatever it is, but we give an opportunity every week because I never want a week to go by where someone didn't get that chance to accept Jesus because it's the biggest and best thing you'll ever do in your life. And so we're going to all pray this prayer out loud together so nobody feels weird and because we're a community and we're a family, so we do things together. So let's pray this. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I'll have it for you. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this teaching from Cedar Life Church. And why not join us on a Sunday? We hold multiple services around the Illawarra. For more information, go to www.citylife.org.au.